Amen. Thank you, men. That'll make a wonderful song for a wedding. Beautiful. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128 this morning. We'd like to continue our series on the family. Psalm chapter 128. I'd like for us to read the whole chapter. Fear not, it's only six verses. Psalm 128, verses 1 to 6. In my Bible, the chapter is titled with the God-fearing family. It's certainly an example of that as we begin our sermon this morning and reading about the ideal family unit. Note here in Psalm 128, please, verse 1. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we're thankful for thy redeeming grace in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We ask and pray, O God in heaven, if there are some present this morning that have yet to be redeemed, delivered, purchased out of the slave market of sin, may they come to the Christ, the one who paid our ransom, and find forgiveness in him. And Lord, for those of us that do not know you as Saviour, O God, I pray that you would speak to each one. And for those of us that do know you as personal Saviour, O Lord, encourage us in spirit. Fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Guide us and lead us into truth this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Here within this chapter we have a picture of the ideal family. The reference to the husband is implied in verses 1 and 2. Verse number 3, thy wife, then the children, then in verse number 6, the grandchildren. The biblical family unit. One man married to one woman, committed for life, living together, bearing and raising children according to the word of God. A mum and a dad with children living together, honouring God, serving God together. And within this family unit we note the reference to happiness. We note the reference to peace. We note the reference of blessing, happiness, peace within a biblical home. We have noted what has produced the dysfunctional family today. We've noted, as of last week, the perversion of sodomy that is distorting what marriage is all about. Where the propagation of sodomy and sodomite marriages and having children within a sodomite relationship is causing a dysfunctional mindset in the lives of young people. Questions like, who's mum, who's dad? What am I? Should I be attracted to the same gender or should I be attracted to the opposite gender? This is causing dysfunctionality within society today. The prevalence of divorce is also causing a dysfunctional family. Children being shuffled between two homes. Two sets of parents, two sets of values, two sets of priorities. Then we have the single parenting syndrome, where that single parent is mum and dad at the same time. Then we have the passive family, where the head of the home, the father, the husband, fails to take the lead. He's simply a figurehead. And the children and the wife are asking the question, well, who's really in charge here? Where are we going? Where are we not going? All of these are symptoms of the dysfunctional family today. I say all that to say, not to criticise anybody, but just to state that's just how it is. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to do everything we can in our power to promote a biblical family unit. So we've noted the dysfunctional family of today. For this morning, Lord willing, and leading into next week, I'd like to make reference to what I refer to as the malfunctioning family. You have the dysfunctional family unit and the fruits of that, but also I'd like to address a very sober issue concerning the malfunctioning family. I'd like for us to note what is causing the family to malfunction. Now, by malfunction I simply mean not operating to its full potential. That means to malfunction. Operates. We have two printers at home. We have a laser printer and it's served us well for a number of years, but just within the last couple of months it's starting to malfunction. It works, but the colours are not quite sharp. Some of the prints are just not lining up. It's showing symptoms of deterioration, it's malfunctioning. Now, it's still, at the end of the day, printing. but it's malfunctioning. It's not operating to its full potential as it once did. So that's what it means to malfunction, not working fully and properly according to its design and purpose. And I believe today we have the evidence of a dysfunctional family unit. And we have the evidence today of the malfunctioning family unit. Let me say the malfunctioning family unit is partially the result of immaturity within the lives of many young adults that do begin a family. Immaturity. Within Jewish culture, once a boy reaches the age of 13 or 14, committed Jewish parents, will have a ceremony known as Bar Mitzvah, coming of age. And when we were in Israel the other year, there at the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall, we noted a number of families having that ceremony right there. Amazing, amazing sight. Now part of this ceremony, part of the bar mitzvah, is that the child, the son, has to carry the Torah scroll, which represents the first five books of the Old Testament. So part of the ceremony, the child carries the scroll as part of this ceremony. This ceremony encourages the young man to recognize the fact that he has come of age. He is to now see himself as a man. And he needs to bear personally the weight of obeying the law of God. So part of this bar mitzvah ceremony is that the child carries the scroll, and I had the pleasure of taking a picture of a father with his son as his son was down here and the father was up here, and the scroll was like from there to there, and he was bearing this scroll, and this father allowed me to take a picture, and dad was smiling from ear to ear because here's his son coming of age, bearing the weight of the Torah. So by carrying that Torah, that child is encouraged that he needs to grow up and stand on his own two feet and take responsibility of being a man and obeying the word of God. So within Judaism, young boys, in fact also young girls at the age of 12 and 13, they have the equivalent, it's called a bat mitzvah, the equivalent and within this ceremony, within Judaism, the child is taught to grow up and mature from within their early teens. I think that's pretty smart. In fact, it's biblical for you and I to grow up. And I have no doubt in my mind that we have an issue with the malfunctioning family today because we have many young people that are simply immature. Of course, none within the four walls of this building. See, in our culture, the opposite is promoted. Within the Jewish culture, a young man, a young lady is encouraged to grow up. And this ceremony encourages that very fact. You've come of age, you are moving on to adulthood. You're an adolescent now, you need to move on to adulthood and start living and acting and taking responsibility of an adult. But in our culture, the absolute opposite is taking place. We are, in fact, encouraging our children not to grow up, not to bear the yoke of adulthood. We're happy to let them play life, not live life, to continue to be mummy's boy or daddy's girl. As a result, many young adult singles are lazy. Capital L. They don't want to work full time, that's too much pressure. Many young people put off marriage to later years. They'd rather be mothered to the age of 30, 40, 50. Only to find they're seemingly Only to find there are seemingly less fish in the pond as you get a little bit older. And when some eventually get married, they have fewer children. because they can't handle it. Having a child within your 40s, that's a lot of work. Don't tend to have the energy that you had as a 20-year-old. So they have fewer children, and many unfortunately cannot have children because they've left or let go or squandered the prime time for childbearing. When my wife and I were married, the average couple was getting married in their early 20s. Today, for those that do get married, many do not, as you know, they live together instead as official partners. My Bible calls that fornication. So the average today is that if a couple does get married, they're married in their 30s. And they'll possibly have children in their 40s. And if they do have children, they won't have many. It's a lot of work. Or they genuinely can't have children. Their priority is making money, spending money, their career, being mothered as long as possible, and having a very active social life full of restaurant crawls and good coffee. That's the average young adult today. Am I right or not? That's how it is. And this has become a bedrock to the malfunctioning family unit. Now understand, there might be some within our church family that are a little bit older. And I know it's not your mindset, so please don't take this personally, what I'm saying. I'm just talking about a general mindset. But how wise it is that within Judaism they encourage a child, once they reach adolescence, as their body changes into adulthood, that child is encouraged to grow up and to be an adult. So within that framework, within that upbringing, you'll find, generally speaking, that a child by the age of 20 are well and able and equipped to bear the burden of marriage. Makes sense to me. And there was a day when that culture, without being a Jew and going through a bar mitzvah, this is how many of us were raised to grow up. But this is not the spirit of the day. And this is causing the family unit to malfunction. This mindset, I believe, is a huge contribution to the malfunctioning of the family unit. Where young people will not grow up, they're quite happy to be mothered. Quite happy for mum to continue to make their bed at the age of 35. Do their washing. Have breakfast on the table. Young people, if that's your attitude, grow up. Grow up. You're not going to help your future marital relationship with that mindset. In Psalm 11, verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the devil is out to attack the family unit, and he's working overtime, and in many ways he's very successful. So this underlying principle of immaturity. And may I encourage you parents this morning, no matter where your children are at, whether 1 or 21, I trust that you and I will encourage our children to grow up. Because otherwise it will have adverse effect upon their family to come. And this is why the family unit is malfunctioning. Because the average couple is going into marriage with a lack of maturity. So with that introduction this morning, like to share with you a couple of malfunctioning principles within the family that will cause the family to malfunction. Still operate. That printer of mine still operates. But just not quite sharp. Still working. Still usable. But not as sharp as what it once was or could be. And this is what I believe we have in our day to day. Many malfunctioning families. Let me give you a number of reasons why. The first principle I'd like for us to know is the principle of the unequally yoked family unit. The unequally yoked family unit. This breeds potential confusion in the life of the children. The unequally yoked family unit. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, it reads, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And the Bible goes on to read, "What concord has Christ with Belial, Satan? What part has he that believeth with an infidel, he that does not believe? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For the Bible teaches us, for you and I that are the children of God, we are the temple of the living God. And God lives within us." So within this passage of Scripture, the Bible is very clear that born-again Christians are to only marry born-again Christians. That is so clear. Born-again Christians are to only marry born-again Christians. Why? Otherwise, there is no common spiritual foundation. There is nothing in common between God and Satan. There is nothing in common between the worship of God and the worship of idols. There is no agreement. And I believe that many families are malfunctioning because either mum or dad does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. And they will not do anything about that issue. My Bible teaches me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 that we are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. What will cause the family to malfunction is an unequal yoke. And let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour? Have you received Him as Saviour and Lord of your life? That is the basis of our salvation. And that it's that life in Christ that will enable us to live a Spirit-filled life and therefore have a Spirit-filled family home, and therein will only lie blessing and happiness and peace when mum, dad and the children have the same foundation in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is an unequal yoke within the family unit, and therefore that will breed potential confusion in the life of the children.
And you young people that have yet to marry, and for you young people that are considering a relationship with somebody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, I charge you this morning, think again. It is a grave mistake. And you will pay for it dearly, not only in the present, but also in the future. And if you go ahead and get married to a person that doesn't really know Christ the Saviour, and if God sees fit to give you children, those children will be confused. It'll breed confusion in the home. Which way shall I go? Dad's a Christian. Mum's a Catholic. Which way shall I go? Malfunction. Malfunction. An unequal yoke not only applies to the issue of salvation, but also applies to the principle of commitment. May I submit to you, parents, if you claim to know Jesus Christ as Saviour, if one spouse is committed and the other is not, that will also breed confusion in the home. You'll confuse your children. Malfunction. Let me ask you this morning, how committed are you spiritually? Mum and Dad, how committed are you spiritually? I warn you, if you are not committed, or if your spouse is not committed, it will cause the family to malfunction. It will confuse your children. Well, Dad's committed. Mum really couldn't care less. She's just following Dad. And that will cause a confusion in the life and heart of that child. An unequal yoke will cause the family to malfunction. Beloved, let's get serious about our Christianity. And only then do we have the hope of establishing a fully functional family unit. Where mum and dad know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. And they give evidence of that faith in Christ by their works. Faith without works is dead, the Bible teaches us. In Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? What's the answer to that? No. There will be a parting of ways. So young people, let me encourage you this morning to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't ever consider a relationship with somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and has a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Otherwise, you are breeding the marks of a malfunctioning family. And you'll have children that are confused, wondering, do I follow mum or do I follow dad? Malfunction. The unequal yoke. And my friend, if you're a parent here this morning and you are not a Christian, I'd like to encourage you to take seriously the charge to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and to commit surrender to Him and to Him alone. Otherwise, your children will grow up with confusion. Is that what you want? Do we want our children to be confused, yes or no, parents? Then make up your mind. If Jesus Christ be Lord and God of all, receive Him as Saviour this morning. And I challenge you, parents, if your spouse is not a Christian, I challenge you to challenge your spouse about making a decision, because it's breeding confusion in the lives of your children. The unequal yoke is causing the family to malfunction. The headless family unit is also causing the family to malfunction. Note then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are we still friends this morning?
I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. We need to promote the biblical family unit. Well, Pastor, that's not my scenario. Well, that's beside the point. Do everything you can to make it your scenario. Work from where you are at to promote a biblical family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the third verse, it reads, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Many families are malfunctioning today, not only because there is an unequal yoke within the home. Salvation is not a reality in the lives of mum and dad, and commitment to Christ varies between mum and dad. There's an unequal yoke. But another reason why the average family unit is malfunctioning is because there is lack of leadership. It's a headless family unit. See, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, God has ordained the man as the head of the home. The Bible teaches headship. The Bible doesn't teach partnership. Oh, but Pastor, I thought marriage was a 50-50 partnership. No, no. It might say that on your title deed to your property, but that's not how God sees it. The Bible teaches headship, not partnership. God has ordained the man as the head of the home. And under the ultimate headship of Jesus Christ, the husband, the father, is responsible for obedience. For obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ, spelled out in the Word of God within the family unit. But I'm afraid that many husbands are passive. They just exist. They're just a figurehead. They don't lead. They fail to lead their family physically. They fail to lead their family spiritually. The wife, the mother, ends up being the lead of the home and breeds a matriarchal headship within the home. But you might say, well, Pastor, that's a part of my culture. It's not biblical. I've had people say to me, well, that's part of our culture. The matriarchal headship, it's not biblical. Let's be people of the Word of God, not submitting to culture. And this headless family unit, this home where the father does not take the spiritual lead, is producing an uncertain sound within the family unit, which leads to unbiblical family living. And the family will become malfunctional. In what way? Well, an unequal yoke can breed confusion. But the headless home will also malfunction in that roles will be distorted. The biblical role models or the biblical principles concerning who is to do what within the family are unclear within the headless family unit. The children will grow up in a home where it seems like, well, mum's the boss around here. And that distorts the biblical mandate. For under Christ, as a man, I'm to lead my wife. And this has adverse effects. We have today what is known as the stay-home dad. Mum goes out to work, but dad stays home. Absolute nonsense. It's unbiblical. Mum goes out to work because she has a job or she can earn more money than what dad can. It's not biblical. Talk to me. Husbands, dads, you are called of God to lead your family, to protect your family, to provide for your family needs.
Wives, mothers, you are called to submit and to complete your husband, to lovingly provide the needs of your husband and children. Children, you are to honour and obey your parents. They are not your slaves, they are your master. Amen. That's the biblical roles. And may God help us as men to take the lead and to lead our families, to lead them physically and to lead them spiritually. And may God help mothers and wives today to understand that God has placed me under authority and I'm to complete and aid my husband in the raising of our children for the glory of God. We have a malfunctioning family unit today because the average home is headless. Is headless. Unequally yoked, headless. Statistically, women are more spiritual than men, by far. If you were to line up all the women of the world that are committed to Jesus Christ, at a certain point, say 7 out of 10 minimum, and you were to line up all the men of the world that are committed to Christ, at least a 7 out of 10, the women will outdo the men. That's a shame. It's not a shame that women are spiritual. The shame is that men, you need to be more spiritual. Because you're meant to be the head. You're meant to be the head. And what is this doing to our children? They're growing up in homes where there's no real headship. In fact, if there is any headship, it's mum. Mum, 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 mum. Mum's the head of the home. She's the Mussolini of the household. She gets things done. Dad's just the figurehead. That's not biblical. May God help us as Christians to be people of the Bible. Are you getting quiet on me? Am I saying the truth or not? Thirdly, this morning, the family has been caused to malfunction because of wrong priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6 verse number 33 gives us a summary of concerning what our priority should be and how God will honour that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This Bible simply teaches us, if God has first place in our lives, if we are seeking to honour Him and obey Him first and foremost, He promises to bless us. And this principle will apply to the family unit. Have biblical priorities and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what are all these things? Well, the Bible doesn't spell that out, but it tells us all these things. In other words, if you put God first and foremost in your life, God will add the rest. God will take care of the rest. And I believe that many of our families, even Christian families, are malfunctioning because we do not have right priorities. Unequal yoke, the headless home, and wrong priorities are causing the family unit to malfunction. In many Christian homes today, materialism, worldly achievement, and education is the priority. Talk to me. I'll say it again. In many Christian homes today, materialism, worldly achievement, and education is the priority. The things of God are not a priority in reality or practice. They are in word, but not in practice. We say it, but we don't really live it. Many people today are obsessed, for example, with education, as if it's the God of this world. I'm not saying that your children's education is not important. It is. It has a rightful place. I believe in educating our children. We have sought to educate our children. It is not second rate. It's not a lesser priority. But I believe the Bible teaches us that the principle that biblical priorities will not conflict. And my Bible teaches me that man has a spiritual domain and man has a physical domain. And I believe that many of our families are malfunctioning because we are focused upon the physical at the neglect of the spiritual. Biblical priorities will not conflict. And if we will make sure that God has first place in our lives, then God will take care of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Balance is the key. We need to ask the question, what is important to us? What is important to God? Are my values more important than God? How am I educating my children? See, some of you parents, education is the God of your life. God ought to be the God of your life. Some of you parents are making education the God of your child. You need to make God the God of your child. But pastor, they need to study. Oh yes, they do. I believe they need to be diligent. I believe they need to give 110%. But they need to learn to put God first and foremost in their life. And then all these things shall be added. Oh, but pastor, my child is doing very well because my child eats and breathes education. I challenge you, parent, if you allow your child to eat and breathe Jesus Christ, they'll do better in their education. Because Matthew 6:33 teaches, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some of you parents, your cry is, study, 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 study. But what about walking with God? What about church attendance? What about serving the Lord? Oh, pass, that's not possible. No man can serve two masters. It's true. But if you serve the Master, Jesus Christ, all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Obsession with things like education, I'm just using education as an example, because it is an obsession. If you question that fact, we'll walk down Victoria Avenue in Chatswood. You'll find more after-school tutoring places than coffee shops. It's an obsession. Obsession with things like education at the expense of that which pleases God and that which is best for the family is causing the family unit to malfunction. And I challenge you parents and parents-to-be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm not saying neglect the education of your children. Do the best you can. Push them. But encourage them to put God first in their life. Encourage them to give Sunday to God. Encourage them to serve the Lord. Encourage them to have a quiet time. Some of you parents don't do an absolute thing about encouraging your children to spend time with God daily. But you're on their back to study. You're a hypocrite, parent. What are you teaching your child? What are you teaching your child? Let me tell you what you're teaching your child. You're not helping your child to establish biblical priorities, number one. And you are breeding worldliness. And you are breeding covetousness. And you are breeding a mindset that is not trusting God by putting God first, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You're breeding a faith and trust in education instead of a faith and trust in God. Amen. Who's God, education or God? God is God. Education is not God. And I'm not here to belittle education, but I'm saying put God first in your life. And promote a worship of God as opposed to the worship of study in the life of your children. Your children will come out right. And they'll be balanced. They'll learn to trust God. And also be well educated. My kids are educated. But we're sought to put God first. You challenge them. Go up to Micah this morning and ask him, Micah, what's 1 plus 1? I'm confident he'll be able to answer that question. Give him a spelling test, Micah. Spell Brianna. I'm confident about a spell sister's name. Seriously, beloved, our homes, many of our homes are malfunctioning because our priorities are not right. And it's about time that we as parents walk by faith and not by sight. And live out the fact that we need to make Jesus Christ number one. Biblical priorities won't conflict. Pastor, you're saying that I need to neglect my child's education? I'm not saying that. Wouldn't say that. I'm just simply encouraging you, put God first. You parents that are on their back to study and to get 99.99% every time, I challenge you parents to encourage your child to walk with God. But my child's only young. Your child needs to learn to walk with God from the time that they're born. You need to read the Bible to them. Before our children can even read, we'd sit them on their bed with a Bible. Picture Bible. And we try to instill in them that they need to walk with God. That's the most important thing. Thank God, by God's grace, my children are still walking with God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, I'm almost done. We'll talk about more malfunctions next week, if you're brave enough to come back. The unequal yoke, the headless family, wrong priorities, causing many of our families to malfunction.
and it will eventually come out in the lives of our children, parents. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Then fix the malfunction. Address that which is potentially malfunctioning, your home. May God help us to cultivate and build a godly home, a biblical home, for God's glory. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.